speaking from South Street Baptist Church in Greenwich. Today I want to bring the Word of God to you. The theme is, remember your first love. Remember your first love. I hope to take it gently, and I hope to finish the message today. But if for any reason I am not able to, we will have to reschedule something on the church calendar so that we can have it next week, because I'm here, I'm speaking for the next 3 weeks, so we should be able to go through this. Remember your first love. This is taken from Revelation chapter 2, verse 2 to 5. That is going to be our reading. But before then, I want you to understand that the book of Revelation in biblical language is called Apocalyptics. That means the end times. That is the end times. And don't make any mistakes that we are in the end times. The events that goes on in our country and other places tells us that we are in the end times. I pray that the family and the loved ones of the MP David Emmons, who was murdered unnecessarily, will be comforted and strengthened. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Shall we bow down our heads briefly? Just be in that place. Just ask God for His grace to be for the family that are grieving, the children that have lost their dad, the wife that has lost her husband, the constituents that have lost their MP, and the nation that have lost a good son. Father, we thank you. We thank you. I pray, O God, that you remember him and the family for good. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, I'm talking about a theme, remember the first love. And the book of Revelation will start something like this before I come to the passage. It said the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angels to his servant John. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it. For this time is near. Amen. That is how the book of Revelation starts. That is the last book of the Bible. It says it's coming from Jesus Christ himself, the resurrected Christ. When you get a chance, read chapter 1 and have an image of Jesus as opposed to the image of Jesus in the cradle. Have an image of the resurrected Jesus Christ and you will see the sort of person that we are worshiping. He is powerful. He is powerful. He is powerful. Check it out and write that chapter down, Revelation chapter 1, and look at it. Now, Jesus is saying that blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it. For the time is near. And I just want to remind you that the time is near. Because the time that we are in is different from probably when I was growing up. I probably can look back and I thought it was a whole lot easier in terms of security, in terms of safety. You could leave your children to go and play with their neighbors and you don't even care where they went. you know they will come back, right? Oh, I'm too old now. That is absolutely true. Right in this country. I remember when my children were growing up, we were looking for them. We didn't know where they were, not knowing they've just entered somebody's house in the neighborhood. And we were looking and looking and looking. And somebody said, "Are you looking for your children?" I said, "They are here." That's amazing, isn't that right? People just come for them because they look amazing. Hallelujah, Lord. Let me say in the text of the message. See, the Lord Jesus Christ referred to this period that we are in as the end times. He said, "The time is near. These times have a lot of challenges for every Christian and even non-Christian. And for you as a Christian, the time that we are in, the period that we are in, the days that we are in, is going to test your faith. It's going to test your faith. It's going to really ask questions about who you are." Let's go back to Revelation chapter 2, verse 2 to 5. It said, "Blessed is he who reads." Blessed is he, or put it this way, "I know your deeds and your works," or "I know your works and your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who said they are prophets or apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars. And you have preserved or persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." Hallelujah. That is from the New King James Version of the Bible. "I know your deeds," I want to remind you. Jesus says, "I know your deeds, and I know your toil. I know how much you are working, and I know how much you are persevering, and that you cannot tolerate evil men and women. And you put to the test those who, lies, or call themselves apostles, call themselves whatever they call themselves, and they are not. And you find them to be false. And you have persevered and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds that you did at first, your first works. Or else I'm coming to you quickly and remove your lampstand, the church, out of its place, unless you repent." Wow. This was a message to the church in Ephesus, one of the seven churches in Asia that the message was directed to. He said that, remember your first love, otherwise even the church will be taken away from you. And unless we keep our first love, our faith is going to be challenged. And we would not know how to face the future. Jesus wants every follower of his, Christians, Christ followers, not to lose their first love. Otherwise, we will fall apart and will eventually lead to leaving your faith and your spiritual covering. He said, "I know who you are. I know the church you even go to. I know what you get up to in the church. You do a whole lot of good things, which it's commendable. But I also have something against you that you need to address very quickly." That's what he says. And what is it that we need to address very quickly? After all the good things that Jesus Christ is talking about us, he says, "I need you to address very quickly. You have left your first love." Now, what is first love, you may ask? Your first love is the passion. This is going to be a teaching moment, so please try and take some notes so that you can read over. Your first love is the passion one has for God. I repeat that. Your first love that Jesus is talking about is your passion that you have for God. God becomes your priority, and the evidence of it is that you become hungry for God and want more of Him to serve God. Amen? Your first love is the passion that you have for God. God becomes your priority, and the evidence of it is that you become hungry. Hungry, underline the word hungry, for God and want more of Him so that you'll be able to serve others better. Now we said first love is the passion. What is this passion? Write this one down, please. Passion is a supernatural inner fire. A supernatural inner fire. Don't go to the dictionary for this. Hear me. Passion is the supernatural inner fire, a strong emotion that you have for someone or something. I will repeat it. Passion is a supernatural inner fire, a strong emotion that you have for someone or something. So if you have passion for your girlfriend, that is not passion we're talking about, because it's not supernatural. It may well be a strong emotion. If you love your dog and you are passionate about it, yes, great, but it's not supernatural. That is not what we are talking about, because Jesus Christ, if you look at Revelation chapter 1, we are looking at a supernatural resurrected being. So the thing that he was talking, he said, I want you to hear it. The one, blessed is he who preaches it, and blessed is the one who hears it and do something with it. Hallelujah. So our first love is to follow the Lord our God wholeheartedly. Our first love is to follow the Lord our God wholeheartedly. Shall we go to the Bible again, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 6. This was Moses, having received the Ten Commandments from the Lord. The Ten Commandments is a guide as to how we relate to God and we relate to each other. That's what it is about. Your first relationship is to God. Then you know how to relate to each other. The people of Israel have left Egypt, or bondage, put it that way. And they were going on a different journey, a new journey to the promised land. They have so much hope and aspirations. But then God said, if you want to know how to live and how to navigate all the challenges of the desert and to get to your promised land, then you have to know how to relate to God and how to relate to each other. We know of only the 10, but it's actually 613 commandments. But we only know about the 10. Or we're only familiar with the 10. Now, Moses remembered that having walked on the desert for 40 years, a lot of the people who started the journey have fallen off and have died. And there were a whole lot of young boys and girls, or people in the ages of 20 and below, with a few older bearded people around them, and older probably grandchildren and grandfathers and grandmothers and mothers among them. But a lot have died. And Moses assembled these young ones and said, hear me, you are the people of God. You are the people of the future. That is why in this church we want to teach our children the ways of our God, so that they will be the future of this church. If our fathers did not teach us the ways of our God, we would not be here. This building has been here longer than each one of you is 149 years old. Hallelujah. People build it with sacrifice, and you have renovated it with sacrifice. Say, hear you, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Hallelujah, Lord. Hear me, South Street. Hear me online. wherever you are watching me live stream, hear me today that the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God wholeheartedly with all your heart, with all your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, and with all your strength. For these words, which the Lord is commanding us today, shall be in our hearts. That's why I said our first love is to follow the Lord our God wholeheartedly. So today, Jesus Christ is saying, remember your first love. I've defined that for you so you can go back to pick it up. Unless you have photostatic brain, you can recall it. Remember your first love. So if he said, remember, he's going to be taken back to the same position as the event happened. Remember. Go back and remember those times that you have hunger for God. That God was your priority. When you had passion, when you had inner supernatural fire, strong emotion for God. God is saying that, you know what? Church of Ephesus, South Street Baptist Church, I know your works. I know that you, and when people who are doing the wrong thing, you just don't want to be a complicit to it. So we know that you serve faithfully. We know that you're able to be discerning. We know that you are hardworking and you put your heart and soul into things, but I have something against you. And what against you is that you've lost your first love. So when do we know that we are losing our first love? When does a Christian know that he or she is losing their first love? You know this when you lose your hunger for God. When you are not hungry for God, you've lost your first love. If you're never hungry for God, that means you are far from God. But then you know what? God is not rejecting you. He said, look, even if you are far from me, there's always a way out for you to come back so that we can have a relationship together. Because that's the only reason why God created us. That we should have a relationship with the living God. That is his upper story. And our lower story is that we will respond to this love that God gives us. And this call that is in our heart and our ears. When do you know that you are losing your first love? When you lose compassion for people. When you are no more compassionate about people, when you don't care what you say to people, you don't care what you do to others, you don't care about their feelings, you don't care whether they are hurting, you don't care whether they are dying, you don't care whether they are sick, you don't care whether they are poor, you've lost your first love. What is the evidence that you've lost your first love? When you lose the spirit of service, that's the third point. When you lose the spirit of service, you either don't want to serve or serving becomes a chore. You're in a church and somebody said, can you join the camera team? I have a 12-year-old or maybe younger on the camera today. I have an 8-year-old setting up things today and teenagers working today. In all areas of the church, and I'm extremely grateful. But then you'll be asked, will you want to serve? Why don't you have a first serve in a particular area to see where you find your sweet spot? And that you don't want to. Or maybe you are serving, but you are complaining. Oh, yeah, this church, when you come, they always want you to serve. You know why? We want you to serve because God has first loved you, and we serve you as a leadership. And God has been serving you all this while. Amen? Amen? We want you to serve because it's an opportunity for you to even develop a skill set. It brings you closer to God. All those who serve in the church, you know what, faithfully in the church, they're growing and getting closer to God. In their relationship, that's what God wants. Because Jesus Christ says, I've come not to lord over you, but I've come among you as the one who serves. So we are more like Jesus when we serve. So what is the evidence that you are losing your first love? when you lose the ability to serve passionately. This time you are serving, but you have lost the ability to serve passionately. There's no love in it. Even though you may still be serving, yet serving becomes a routine. You're on rota. So it's my turn to serve. And then you come and you go. You don't prepare spiritually. You don't do anything. You see, service that is not done in the spirit does not honor God. Because Jesus Christ himself said, a time is coming in John chapter 4, and the time is now, that the true worshipers will worship him in truth and in the spirit. You go back to the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 31 and chapter 35, and it's telling you that, look, even when you have the most amazing skills, when it comes to the church, the tabernacle of God, the temple of God, or the presence of God, you know what? He says, come, present yourself. Let me put my spirit in you so that you'll be able to serve me. So without the spirit of God, whatever you do in the church is a chore. You soon become tired when somebody doesn't acknowledge you, or when you feel that, oh God, nobody seems to be saying thank you or something. Or somebody cross your path and you get upset because the Spirit of God is not in it. Now, let's move on. Hunger is a sign of spiritual health. When you are hungry, it's a sign of spiritual health in the church. When there is no spiritual hunger, it is a sign that the first love is gone. If you are in this church, if you are in any church that has no spiritual hunger in you, then it's a sign that the first love is gone. In the natural world, when a child loses its appetite, it's a sign that a child is probably sick. Yes or no? Exactly, because children love to eat. I don't know which child doesn't want to eat. When the child begins to eat again, then the health returns. Because the child is not sick anymore. Similarly is this, when you lose your hunger for God, you are spiritually sick. You've lost your first love. When you live in an environment of blessings like we are in South Street, one of the requirements is to be in a place and maintain hunger for God. So in our church, I'm preaching to you and I'm encouraging you that maintain your hunger for God. Hold on to God. Maintain your spiritual hunger. When you are hungry, you discover new things in God. When you are spiritually hungry, when you are hungry for God, you discover new things in God. These are the times God is revealing mysteries. But to whom is he revealing those mysteries to? Those who are hungry for God and who want to discover mysteries, who want to understand revelation. That's how this book of Revelation was started. I read it to you earlier on in case you wanted to know the references. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 3. It says, these are mysteries. These are things to come. These things are deep. Last night, this morning, I was just reading the whole of Revelation. I got to a place, I'm thinking, wow, this thing is very, very deep. I don't even seem to understand. Something very, very scary. But then, I know that my God means well. But he's telling us these things so that we will get ourselves ready in times like this. So when you are hungry for God, you discover new things. You discover God and you want God in times like this to give you revelation, to reveal mysteries to you. And if you're hungry, you will. Let's look at spiritual maturity here. Maturity in the kingdom of God is sustained by hunger. Amen? If you want to know the supernatural, you've got to be hungry for God. If you want to operate in the supernatural, you've got to be hungry for God. You see, sometimes our faith history, biblical history or church history, has made us too gentle, too tame, and sometimes we don't even believe the very thing that is written in the scripture. We only take what we want. But Apostle Paul encourages us that we should preach the whole counsel of God. And in fact, Jesus Christ wants us to be his disciples, so we have to do the things that he did. A disciple is somebody who has learned from somebody. If you go to college or university, your teachers teach you something, so you come up with something, and you do something with it, you work with it. Isn't that right? So Jesus Christ teaches these things. So maturity in the kingdom of God is sustained by hunger. It's sustained by service. It's sustained by responsibility and commitment. You can't sustain maturity without hunger. You can't grow without hunger. You cannot grow in the supernatural. You cannot grow in healing the sick. You see, I believe in medication. I believe in doctors and nurses and science. I believe in all those things. But sometimes you get to a point that they are not able to. And when you get to that point, no instrument can save you. But the supernatural power can save you. Jesus Christ said, look, there were a lot of physicians during his time. There were doctors and nurses, scientists. And yet he went about healing people. Jesus wants us. He said, these signs will follow them who believe in my name. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Mark chapter 16, verse 18 will tell you that. Let me move on. Whoever is hungry is never satisfied. Yesterday I ate a good afternoon meal. My belly was bursting. But come evening, I was hungry again. I don't know what to fill it with, but I ended up having some biscuits. I'm thinking, hey, take it easy. Because at my age, you don't lose your belly that easily. Whoever is hungry is never satisfied. You want more of the Spirit, more of the supernatural, more of faith, more of the anointing, more of the vision that your church is involved in. There are more souls to save. You and me have an assignment to go out and preach the message. Not like what I'm doing, but talk to somebody about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Talk to somebody that one day we will have to die, and when we die, there is judgment. Tell somebody that one day we will stand before God. Tell somebody, in case they don't know, that one day they will die, but where will they go when they're dead? Whose arms are they going into? I know your works. I know you're a good person. I know you do a lot of good things, but I have something against you, says the Lord. You have left your first love. We are called by God. When you are hungry, you feel it in your belly. Is there hunger in your belly for God? Is there hunger? Is there passion? Is there supernatural inner fire bellowing in your belly? Churning within you for God. Churning within you to tell somebody that there's an impending disaster that they will get involved in. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. You don't know what will happen even today from here on. But I pray, God, that he will keep you safe. And it's my prayer that we have to be ready at any time. Amen. In the natural, we get hungry by not eating. In the supernatural, that is in the kingdom of God, you get hungry by eating. Do you get me? In the natural, you get hungry when you don't eat. But in the supernatural, you get hungry by eating the word of God, by eating his word, obeying it, by eating his spirit, by eating his presence, by being hungry for God. Amen? Amen? You see, it's a good place. Jesus Christ could have let them say, oh, you are a lovely church. Yes, he said and he commended that. But he said, look, I want you to go for more. I want you to go for more. You are doing a great job. You're doing a good thing. You're going to church every Sunday as a routine. Yes, that is great. You're serving. You're doing this. You're doing that. You're doing that. You are ministering. But I want you to have more. I want you to have more. And sometimes we don't. When you are taught with revelation, it creates hunger in you to want to eat and know more of the glory of God. Amen? You see, I've been a Christian for a long time. I've studied a lot about the Bible, and I've been to so many Bible schools, and I've learned a lot. And I think probably I know a bit better than most average Christians as far as the Bible is concerned. And I've been your pastor for a while. I've preached messages that you guys clap me. And sometimes I feel so shy and I go and sit down. Not clapping me out of the stage, but you are so excited about what you are learning. But today, you know what? I'm receiving more revelation about the very thing that I used to preach on. And I'm thinking, oh my God, what were these people clapping for? So when you are taught with revelation, it creates hunger in you to want to eat and know more of the glory of God. And there are so many people in this church who want more of God. They want to eat more of God because they are being taught with revelation. And they are being empowered. And they themselves are walking in power. They themselves are praying for miracles for people. They are praying and people get results. I hear from House of Peace in the communities. I hear from individuals what God is doing in their lives. And I pray for people too. And I see what God does. When you are taught by revelation and with revelation, you seek more of his presence and you continue to seek the supernatural. Amen? When you are taught with revelation, you seek more of his presence and you continue to seek the supernatural. That is why I cannot go back. I've been a Christian for more than 40 years. And where I've been and I am in the past 3 years, there's no way I'm going back to 10 years ago. 10 years ago was good. I can only go forward. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And I pray that you'll be hungry to go forward as a church. The alternative is nothing to write home about. Even your own disciples or the people that you look who look up to you will be hungry when they see you hungry for God, because hunger sustains revival. Hunger sustains revival. Hunger sustains the outpouring of the supernatural. Amen. Sometimes you're thinking, what is the supernatural? It's like some eerie thing. No, it's the presence and the power of God to heal. It's the presence and the power of God to bring miracles, signs, and wonders. It's the presence of God to change bad situation into good situation. It's the presence of God to overshadow you, to be bold and fearless. It's the presence of God for you to stand and be confident in your own self, knowing that God is with you. It's the presence of God upon you that you are not as afraid of the evil supernatural. You're not afraid of witches or wizards or demons. You actually take control over them in Jesus' name and cast them out. That's what we are talking about. And I can assure this has no denomination, because Jesus Christ had no denomination. And that's the one that we are following, right? Or put it this way, this cuts across denomination. So that means any denomination that wants to move in the supernatural, it is a biblical principle and God will give it to you. That's what I mean. And anyone who is hungry will find God. I was hungry. I came from a good professional background and I said, you know what, God, for the rest of my life, I'm going to give it to you. I don't even know how I'm going to eat. But I'm hungry. And I want to trust you that you provide for me. And these 5 years, God has provided for me time and time again without fail. And I said, if I'm coming, I'm giving my life, my career, my everything to come and do this, then there's no point for me to come and continue those maintenance mode kind of church. I have to know more of God. I want more. And I had an encounter with the living God. And God changed my perspective about him. And the rest, you are witnesses. Hallelujah. What does hunger or passion for God do for you? I'll talk about three things or so, and then probably I'll stop here and I'll continue this message next week. What does hunger or passion for God do for you? Because God says, remember your first love. Go back to when he saved you. When he saved you, you want everybody to know that you are a Christian. You invite all your friends to be, to your baptism services. You want your unbelieving people to know that you are a Christian and your language is changing and you are telling them about God and you're so happy. It's as if you've just had a wedding party or something. What does hunger and passion for God do for you? One, passion for God creates hunger to possess new territories. Are you writing something down? I know some of you are only one person, but good. Passion for God creates the hunger to possess new territories. If you have a passion for God, if you remember your first love and you are hungry, you are passionate for God, you are supernaturally charged from the inside, then it helps you, it gives you hunger to possess new territories. Places that you've never been before, you begin to go for those places. Shall we read from Deuteronomy chapter 8? Verse 1-3. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember, underline the word remember, that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandment or not. Read on. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and he fed you with manna which you do not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Amen. You see, you think Jesus Christ made that word up. He actually quoted the Old Testament. Sometimes some people don't like the Old Testament. I'm thinking, so if Jesus Christ, whom you're following, quoted the Old Testament, then which Bible are you reading? Are you with me? Because the Old Testament speaks and the New Testament says, amen. That's what Reverend Keith Green said. He was a good musician. Died many years ago. And Jesus Christ said, I came to fulfill the law, not to destroy it. So here we want you to understand that Jesus Christ brought the people up to the point of hunger so that he will fill them. He wanted to know what is in their heart. Where is their heart? Is there a passion? Are they going to follow God wholeheartedly? When there was no food, when there was no provision, are you willing to believe this God and trust him to make a way for you? Are you willing to believe him to get that job for you when you are made redundant? Are you willing to actually look out for him when you don't know where your next meal is coming from? Are you willing to pray for miracles to happen in your life? When your child is ill and they've gone to hospital and they've diagnosed something and they can't cure, they've given you so much medication and nothing is happening, are you willing to try this God, the God of impossibilities, to make things happen? Are you hungry for this God? Jesus was provoking the church of Ephesus that I want you to be hungry. I want you to have passion for God. I want you to remember your first love that you have left. I want you to go back to those things. So for this church, we are going back to those things that the word of God teaches us. When things are not possible, we want to say it is possible. Number two. What does hunger and passion for God do? It creates humility and total dependence on God. See, the people of Israel were humbled in the desert because there was no food. They never worked. They couldn't plant there. They were on a journey. You couldn't plant and say, I'm waiting for the next 3, 4, 5 months to harvest. So they had to depend upon God. And God gave them manna, bread from heaven, to eat. And in fact, when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it tells you that God gave them Jesus. It says, I'm the bread of life. I'm the one that their fathers gave me. Go to John chapter 6, say the same thing. I am the bread that comes from heaven, that your fathers ate. So in times like this, it creates humility and total dependence upon God. Hunger is a place of humility which should keep you depending on God at every situation. When you are hungry, you are humble. That's why when you fast, you become humble. When you are fasting, you become hungry, and you don't curse people that easily. Because you don't even have the energy to curse them, if you want to. When you are hungry, you are humble. Spiritual hunger is the evidence of humility. You are saying that, I am in need, and I'm not satisfied. I want more. I'm in need. I need food. I need spiritual food. God, satisfy me with that. I'll just touch on this point and I'll pause and then we'll continue next week. Number three, what does hunger and passion for God do? Hunger causes people to move beyond what is familiar. Hunger causes people to move beyond what is familiar. If you're hungry, you want to move beyond what is familiar. I remember a little over a year ago when the virus broke. You know what? Our scientists suddenly became hungry. Our NHS, though always hungry, but became hungry for more. They were looking for solutions. People were hungry. The whole population was hungry. We were looking for solutions. We were looking for a cure. And this hunger produced something. The AstraZeneca vaccine, Pfizer, BioNTech, J&J, and whatever the rest. Hunger will stir in you, in your heart, to go and seek for that marking, M-A-R-K-I-N-G, that marking which will set you apart because you want to leave your convenience behind. Hunger will set you apart. Hunger means that you want that marking, that thing. So this day he said, if you have a double job, you can travel. That is your mark. You are looking for that marking. And those who want to travel are looking for those markings so that they can travel. Otherwise, they will have to pay so much money and come and quarantine and pay some more money. Are you hungry? Are you holding on to your first love? Have you gone back to it? Have you remembered to go back to your first love? Hunger will set you apart because you want to leave your convenience behind. Hunger will cause you to leave your convenience, cause you to leave your comfort, and you will sacrifice. Hunger is a gift of God. Let's read from Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. They hunger and thirst to do the right things before God. That is righteousness. They are hungry. They are hungry. And they shall be filled. How do you stay hungry in the midst of an atmosphere in a place like South Street Baptist Church, Greenwich, where there is anointing, where there's the presence of God, where there are miracles happening, where there are signs and wonders taking place, where there's revelation taking place? You have to stay in the place of humility, for God values hunger. Remember your first love. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds that you did at first, your first works, or else I'm coming to you quickly and remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Hallelujah, Lord. Shall we get up and respond to this message? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is God speaking to you today? Is God speaking to someone today? Today, if you're here and you've never been hungry for God, God has been far away from you. But it's not by accident that you are here. You are not here by chance. But you are here because God wants to speak to you. God wants a relationship with you. God wants to hold your destiny and define it for you so that you can walk knowing that somebody has walked that place and therefore it is easier for you to walk that place. Today, are you ready to come before this God? Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, if you've never made a commitment to Jesus Christ and said, Jesus, I believe you, that I know you came. You came to die for me. How? Because that when someone does the wrong thing, somebody had to pay the price, but you paid the price for my sins, for my disobedience, for the things that I've done which is not right before God. And you were crucified, an innocent man, you paid the price. And even me, today, I can walk free. That is love. John 15 verse 13 said, a greater love has no man than this, that one will lay down his life for his friends. So Jesus laid down his life for you and me. So today, if you want to make Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, accept him into your life, I really want to give you that chance. Because I'll be doing injustice if I don't give you a chance and you're here and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ. If you want to do that, just raise up your hand wherever you are. I will not call you to the front, I promise you. But I would like to pray with you. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's everything to gain. You've never invited Jesus Christ into your life, and you don't know him as your personal Savior. I just want you to raise up your hand, wave to me wherever you are, and I'll pray for you. Yeah, don't look at a person on your right or your left. Where they go, you don't care. It is about you. Hallelujah, Lord. Please, I'll give you one more chance. That if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ and know this God, so that he will define your future and guide you and wipe away all your sins and start a new chapter with you, please wave at me and I'll pray for you and I'll pray with you. Who is that man? Who is that woman? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Sing something or play something, and I'm going to pray for this person. God bless you. Just pray this prayer quietly after me. Lord Jesus, today I come before you, and I'm asking you that today I want to give my life to you and accept you as my Lord and Savior. I acknowledge that I'm far from you. I'm coming home today. I'm coming home today, Jesus. Cleanse me with your precious blood. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose from the dead. And today you are calling my name. I am asking you, Jesus, forgive me all my sins. And even as you cleanse me, I pray that if I were to die today, or when I die, when I open my eyes, I'll be in your arms. Thank you, Jesus, for this gift of life. In Jesus' name, amen. And for the rest of you, I want you to pray. The musicians will continue singing, but I want you to pray for yourself. The Bible says that I will come and take your lampstand away from you unless you repent. So today I'm asking you, talk to God and say, God, I'm sorry for losing my first love. I am so sorry that I've lost my passion for people, my passion for God. I'm sorry that I've lost the inner fire for God. I'm sorry I'm not eating as I should. Ask God to forgive you. Make sure you are praying something. God hears these prayers. And God is going to answer those prayers for you. And even in the same way that you are asking for forgiveness and repentance, to turn into a new life, ask God to create a hunger in you to serve Him wholeheartedly. To serve Him wholeheartedly. To serve Him wholeheartedly. Ask God to create hunger in you. God, I'm hungry. God, I'm hungry. God, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for more. More mysteries. More revelation. More of your Holy Spirit. More of your presence. More of your power. More of your love. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Keep on praying to God. God is going to do that for you right now. Receive, receive, receive His forgiveness. Receive His passion. Receive His passion. Receive His love. Receive His love. Receive, receive from God His supernatural presence to come upon you right now. Even as you talk to Him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.